Fisher family has been living in West Germany, where the Major was stationed last fall after his tour of duty in Vietnam. Following the presentation of the Medal of Honor to the Major, he and his family met with members of the White House News Corps. A reporter started the questioning by asking Fisher...
Colonel Myers told us that he thought the chances were 99% against you getting him out. Apparently you didn't think so or you wouldn't have gone in.
Oh, I thought we had pretty good odds. We had some good wingmen, and I think that makes the odds a lot better.
Did they tell us what happened?
Well, it's quite a long story. I guess basically when he got hit, he crash-landed on the strip, and as a result, the airplane was burning pretty well, and when he stopped, it was in a ball of fire, and I guess it looked like he had consumed a lot of fire. I figured he hadn't made it. In fact, I called and told him that he hadn't made it, and I was real happy to see him when he got out of the airplane. I suppose he's in there a minute or so, and he dashed out, and I guess consuming the smoke that was in the cockpit, it looked like he was on fire when he was running, and I assumed that he was probably burnt pretty badly at that time. So we called for help, and they said it was on the way, and we'd be there in just a few minutes. And we expended the rest of our ordnance in supporting him and keeping people away from him, and also supporting the south wall of the camp. And I asked again how long it would be before the chopper would be there, and they says maybe another 20 minutes, and that you would have to probably ask if we'd go back and escort him down through the hole that we came through, and we couldn't wait. I couldn't stay any longer. We were, of course, running low on ammo ourselves, and I knew if he was down there very much longer and we left him, that they'd get to him. So we made the big decision.
At what point did you make that decision, Major?
Well, I asked a few questions of people there at runway lengths and determined just the feasibility of doing it, but it didn't look very good. And I just felt real strong that I should do this, contrary to my better judgment, I guess you'd say, but I felt it's something we had to do, and he's one of the family, you know, the fellows we fly with there, they do the same for us, and so as a result, I guess inspiration, maybe you put it that way.
Were you scared, Major?
No, I wasn't scared. I hadn't run out of ideas. I don't think you get scared if you run out of ideas. And
Major, you were prepared to get out of the airplane to go get him, too, weren't you?
Yes, I started out to get him, and I thought he should have been there when I stopped. I seen him when I was taxiing by and stopped, and he waved, and I knew he had a little sprint to get to the airplane, and I hesitated just long enough that he should have been there, and he wasn't. And they hit us a little bit on right there, and I knew we couldn't stay too long. So I went about the right side and get him, and by that time I could see him trying to get up the back end of the wing. I guess I had the engine running a little fast, and it was a little difficult for him to get up the tail end of the airplane. And so I jumped back in, and he made it up by then, and he was tired, and he laid across, just jumped across the rail, and I grabbed him by the seat of the pants and pulled him right down in the airplane with me, and we were on our way by then.
He can't remember what you said or what he said. Can you remember?
He didn't say anything, I don't believe. He just looked at me and smiled, and I looked at him, and I thought, you look terrible. And he smelled like the dickens. He had a lot of smoke on him, and of course he had done some camouflaging of himself while he was on the ground there with mud, and took anything that was awfully shiny. But we didn't say much. We couldn't hear. I was going to put the headset on him and talk to him, but if I took it off, then I couldn't hear, so I just kept it on, and we figured our time was kind of running out. We ought to get out of there.
What were they throwing at you?
I don't know exactly. There's a lot of small arms.
Mortars?
I don't think we got hit with any mortars, unless they came from above, up and exploded down. I don't know.
Holes in the airplane?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We had a few holes in the airplane.
What was the most harrowing moment of the whole venture?
Well, it's obvious to me when I really begin to panic a little bit, I guess, is when I couldn't stop. And it's a short runway, too short for this, for the bird, really. And when I got to the end, the brakes was just about gone because I'd been skidding quite a bit down the strip, and I wasn't going to be able to stop, it looked like. And so I thought, gosh, this is a lousy time to goof up.
How did you stop?
Well, I went off the end of the runway, the little strip they had there, and into the dirt. I thought at the time I can probably get right on the brakes and stop. But I don't know, at that point, you can't press them too much farther. You can break a line or break a disc or something like that, and you don't have any brakes at all. And I'm sure they were hot. I knew this because you could feel the pressure getting soft. But it looked like it was straight ahead for a little ways right off into the weeds and the brush there. And so I went right out in there to, I guess it's their fuel storage area because they had a lot of 55-gallon drums out in there. We just a few.
Raises this one question we always ask, would you do it over again if you had to?
Oh, I think at that time, yes, you'd have to do it again.
Knowing what you know now?
Well, I knew pretty much now what I knew then, that it's a situation you don't like to be in, and you'd just be well be someplace else, but just like one of your families down there, you just can't leave them. And
Major, you made several trips up down that runway altogether. I have a little confused about that.
I came in, landing an airplane, you can land into the wind. It slows your landing distance down, and I came in properly like this. But the smoke blowing from the camp obscured the runway over the approach in. I went through the smoke and kept right on going and touched down. And I touched down about 200 feet down the strip and rolled for just a minute. I could tell I wasn't going to be able to stop. So I took it around from then and just made a 92.70, came back the other direction. And this is when Luke asked me if I was going to land again. I told him I'd make a 92.70 and land the other direction. And so I had it slowed right down then where I just stalled it right on the end just as soon as I touched the metal. And
you could see it there.
Yes, sir, that end was clear.